It is a great pleasure for me to introduce to you a smiling face of Brother Sam Snowder of Germany, and we're very happy that he and Sister Anique are here with us, and he's going to serve us on the topic of the highway out of Egypt. The highway out of Egypt, Brother Sam.
Thank you, Brother David. Dear brethren, dear friends in the truth, it's been a great privilege for Sister Anique and me to be here amongst you, and we thank our great Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus for sharing the same truth and the same love with you all here. And we do bring along Christian love and greetings from many brethren in Germany, and especially from my hometown ecclesia of Frankenthal near Mannheim. The brethren voted to send their love, and they want to have delivered their greetings to you, as well as other brethren, and especially Brother Lutz Ruthman and his family are sending Christian love and greetings to this convention. Also, we do have greetings from Brother Daniel Caletta, who is now joining our class and is a new member in our ecclesia. The subject for this is the highway out of Egypt, and some of you will find you reminded to that wonderful days we spent together in Israel. All students of the Bible were or are interested in the places of our Master's ministry and also in the future of God's chosen people, the Jews. And since Brother Russell's day, many, many prophecies concerning the regathering of this nation, of the Jews, have been accomplished. They were long expected, and we are happy to see their fulfillment in the time of our pilgrimage here on this earth. The present examination, dear brethren, is a prophecy concerning Israel as a nation. And we open our book and we read in the prophet Isaiah in chapter 19, verses 23 to 25, where we read, "In that day there shall be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrians shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptians into Assyria. And the Egyptians shall serve with the Lord, with the Assyrians. In that day shall Egypt be the third with Assyria, and Israel of the land. Whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, say, Blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, mine inheritance." Let us, brethren, examine together this scripture in order to understand both symbolic and literal fulfillment. Much of this scripture has still a future application, but will be there indeed a fulfillment? Will it really happen to Israel, not only to have peace, but also to have brotherhood with their neighbors, like Egypt and Assyria? We will get that perfect answer in what our scripture calls that day. But let us now look at the scripture of such great importance, especially for Israel. For this reason, I would like to invite you to take a trip with me. Let us travel in spirit on that highway out of Egypt, and let us imagine what would happen to us, or what would meet us, if we would be Egyptians in that day. Oh, brethren, I forgot. That highway is not yet built. So, I have a question for all of you. If you were to build a highway between Egypt and Assyria, between which places, between which cities would you build it? Good question, you might think, and you would be right. Whatever you would decide, you would choose the old way of trade, or if you would decide to choose a more modern way, a more direct way between those places, you would have to cross the territory of Israel, brethren. The territory of the state of Israel. And usually, highways or streets are built between big cities. Could you imagine a highway directly from Los Angeles, or let us say from Portland, to New York without passing other important cities, like for instance Chicago or Detroit? Brethren, such an important city in that day, which Brother Russell explains is the millennial, will be Jerusalem, the city of the Lord Most High. As a highway from Portland to New York would include other cities, like we have mentioned, Chicago or Detroit or any other on the way, our highway in that day will probably include Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, and, under the coming new covenant, the capital of all nations. But we have not yet answered our question. From which place would that highway depart? And, brethren, we need to know this, because I invited you to travel with me in spirit on that way, on that highway. It is not mentioned in our text, but just a few verses above, in Isaiah 19, verse 18, the prophet mentions something very interesting for us. He says, "In that day, five cities in the land of Egypt will speak the language of Canaan and swear to the Lord of hosts. One shall be called the city of destruction." Why do some people in Egypt need to speak another language like the language of Canaan? They are not living in Canaan or Israel. Why do they want to travel? Do they want to change their attitude? Maybe. Perhaps. If you want to travel between Portland and New York, you don't need to learn another language, and I tell you, be happy for that. Also in Europe, many people are traveling across other countries without learning the language of that particular country. Why do five cities in Egypt need to learn another language? Our answer is that in that day there will be one pure language. In that millennial day, people will be under the new covenant, and if they and they will understand the instructions if they know this language. They need to learn that pure language in order to understand. The Egyptians are a picture of the world of mankind, as our Pastor Russell indicates it. They need to know this new language and to learn it. It will be probably the symbolic language of truth. We would like to quote here from volume 3, page 317. "And the Lord shall be known to Egypt, the world, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day, the millennium day, at the close of the time of trouble, and also shall serve with sacrifice and oblation. Yea, they shall make vows unto the Lord and perform them." There is much to say about that special kind of language, brethren. The time does not allow us to enter deeply into this discussion. We have to look back to find that place from which our highway can depart to Assyria. And the Hebrew word for city of destruction, and let us remember this is one of the five cities, is Ir-Heres or Ir-Har-Heres. And scientists found out in the Dead Sea Scrolls, in the book of Isaiah, that the name is Ir-Har-Heres, which means the city of the sun. And this city existed. And this city is known as Heliopolis or the city of On. And brethren, today Heliopolis is very close to Cairo, the capital of Egypt, about 10 miles apart. There seems to be a play on words in our text here. Heres means tearing down and was substituted by Ir-Har-Heres, which is another Hebrew word for the sun. In Egypt, kind, there was much idolatry. The most important god for the Egyptians is the god of the sun, or better, was the god of the sun, called Re, or Re. In the kingdom on the earth, the idolatry of the antitypical Egypt will be destroyed, and the place of the antitypical worship of various idols will be torn down. A new worship, a worship of the true God, of the living God, will take its place, as shown in the sphere of the five cities in Egypt. We read that the five cities will learn the language of Canaan, which in the 8th century was Hebrew, as it is now in our time. If you once learned a language, you might know that the best way of learning it, to learn it fluently, is to practice it by either visiting the country or speaking it with natives. Isn't that another reason, brethren, to go to Israel in order to speak that new, that pure, that marvelous language? In order to speak it better, in order to know and to learn and to understand. We should remember that in the land of Egypt there will be God's stone witness. And we would like to quote volume 3, page 315. Isaiah testifies, an altar and pillar in the land of Egypt, which will be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. And the context shows that it shall be a witness in the day of our great Savior and Deliverer, when he shall come to break the chains of oppression and set at liberty sins captives, on which things our Lord preached first at his first advent, according to Luke 4, verse 18. We would like to continue to quote from page 317. He, Jehovah, has already prepared the Great Pyramid as a part for his instrumentality of convincing the world for his wisdom, foreknowledge, and grace. With this in mind, let us start our trip from Heliopolis, from the city of destruction, or the city of the sun, and go forward into direction Assyria. We have to cross the wilderness of Sinai before we come into the land of the blooming desert. And that wilderness, brethren, that was the place of 40 years' experience of Israel. And it will be a place of experience for mankind, of struggling with character. Once arrived at that blooming desert, what will expect us there? We will be in Israel. Israel is blessed as God's inheritance, and Assyria as the work of his hands. Let us turn to those blessings before we continue our trip further in direction Assyria. Israel will play a very important role in the earthly kingdom. The people of this nation will help the princes of the earth. Let us briefly look back, and I would suggest to you the following antitypical explanation. Our highway leads from Egypt, the world of mankind, from the city of destruction, out of the world, from the capital of the idolatry, from the capital of the idol worship, to a new capital of a new world called Jerusalem. Here, brethren, they receive instructions. They receive instructions in that pure language of truth concerning their experience of crossing the wilderness, the weaknesses of character, which mankind will still have to improve, and a better understanding of God's plan, the Great Pyramid being its witness. On that day, there will come out of Jerusalem the word of the Lord of hosts. Instruction will come out of the city of David. We expect the old man of faith, the ancient worthies, to give this instruction to Israel and then to mankind. God's plan will then include features of the new covenant in detail. And those details are necessary for the fulfillment of the whole restitution process. Before the Egyptians will receive this instruction, this hint or help, they will have to learn that pure language in order to understand what has been told to them. Because Many might hear, but who will understand? They will have to make a vow and perform it. And the Bible doesn't mention nor indicate which kind of swear or vow it will be. So when time will come, we will know it. When mankind will be coming like Israel before under that new covenant in the times of the visible restitution of all things, according to Acts 3:21, instruction will be indeed necessary. Israel's inheritance is not only land, peace, liberty, gold, wisdom. No, the most important inheritance will be the blessings of that new covenant. And they will pass on these blessings as our Lord has passed on His blessings to His body. The greatest blessings, brethren, will be life restored. How will mankind, how will Egypt, how will they get that life restored? Well, let us continue our trip from Jerusalem upwards to Assyria. Why Assyria? Isn't it that we have everything we need? We have that destroyed idolatry. We have that world which is left behind. We have that new pure language. We have that wonderful gift of the new covenant. And we have instructions given. So why do they have to continue? Why do they go out for Assyria? Isn't it wasting time, brethren, to go there? Let us continue and let us see. As we go on, we pass the Golan Heights and come close to that wonderful mountain Hermon, snow-covered and beautiful impression, providing that water for Jordan River. What a wonderful scenery. And then they continue to the dry land of Syria, close to Damascus. They are crossing the territory which is today known as Iraq. Iraq? Yes, Iraq. The same Iraq which did so much harm to Israel during the Gulf War. Yes, the same Iraq who attacked or was confronting also his neighbors. Yes, the same Iraq who stood in opposition to Egypt. Enemy ship. And the Egyptians will go to that country? What is there of such importance? Will they visit the old sites of Babylon and Nineveh, which are today just ruins? We cross the border to Syria and suddenly our highway ends. We arrived at a place at the northern part of the country. In this part we know of the land between the Euphrates and Tigris River. And this land is mentioned in the Bible as the place of the Garden of Eden. Yes, dear brethren, we are back at the place of the beginning. Eden was located between four rivers or heads. It was the wonderful garden which was given to our first parents. But you would be right if you would tell me now that there is no more garden there. It's desert. Brethren, symbolically, our journey has ended in searching for life. to receive life, mankind will have to look symbolically for that tree of life. And where do we expect that tree of life? Is it still hidden there and protected by cherubims, who God placed there 6,000 years ago? As you know, Adam and Eve had to leave Eden. Why? You might answer that they had to leave Eden because they sinned. And this is the reason why they had to go out of that wonderful garden. And you would be right. But there is another reason. They should not longer eat from that tree of life. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he puts forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." So he drove out man and placed at east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep out and to keep the way of the tree of life. Genesis 3:22-24. The cherubims were placed at the east side of the Garden of Eden, as we read. There is a scripture in Genesis 2:14 giving the name of some of the four rivers or heads coming out of Eden. One of the four rivers is called River Hiddekel, and it's going towards the east of Assyria. Another one is called Euphrates. Green's interlinear translation of the Old Testament gives the name Tigris instead of Hiddekel. This river is there mentioned along going at the east of Assyria. Yes, we have received the area of Eden, God's handiwork. The Egyptians, the world, will need symbolically to eat from that tree of life. But before this, God must give them permission to find the way. The Lord, Christ's head and body, will take care to instruct all who listen, all who take care, all who want, that they will find this way. For our highway is the highway of holiness. At this place, we would like to quote from Volume 1, where we read at page 215, "The way back to human perfection will be easy and plain, so plain that none may mistake the way. The wayfaring man and those unacquainted therewith shall not go astray," Isaiah 35:8, "so plain that none will need to teach his neighbor, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for all shall know the Lord, from the least to the greatest." Jeremiah 31:34. None will teach? We thought teaching would be necessary. None will teach? We thought the ancient verses would teach. How can we understand it, that nobody will teach? When started upon the highway of holiness, they may go thereon to actual perfection as a result of endeavor and obedience. The prophet Isaiah said, "And the Lord shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day, and they shall do sacrifice and oblation." by wholesome chastisements, fitting encouragements, and plain instruction. As returned prodigals, mankind will be trained and disciplined upon that grand perfection from which Father Adam fell. We believe that this training and fitting encouragements and instruction will be part of the nation Israel and of that nation under the new covenant. Israel will bless other nations, and Israel will be assured with Egypt and Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land. Green's interlinear translation gives another word in Isaiah 19, verse 24. It says that Israel will be a blessing in the midst of the earth, in the midst of the planet Earth. There will be a literal fulfillment of the scripture saying that Egyptians will visit Assyria and Assyrians will visit Egypt. This will be, of course, in the time of peace and freedom here on the earth, when the kingdom of God will be established entirely on earth. Israel, the ancient worthies, will teach that pure language at that day, and it will be a part of the wonderful restitution blessing then fulfilled for all mankind. Today, beloved brethren, we are already in the preparation for this. We see that time to come soon. We see the time of the new covenant soon to be opened. We believe that soon that highway will be available for mankind to bring them away from destruction and to bring them under instruction to an uplifting of life. For thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness, O Jacob, shout the chief of the nations, publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping and with supplications, and I will lead them. I will cause them to walk by rivers of water in a straight way wherein nobody can stumble. For I am the father of Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word, O Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it to the isles afar off, and say, He that hath scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as the shepherd doth the flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him who was stronger than he. Beloved brethren, may the time come soon when we will see the fulfillment of this prophecy. May the time will come soon when Israel will be the third with Egypt and Assyria. Yes, may the time come soon when Jacob will be a blessing in the midst of the planet Earth. Amen.
Thank you very much, Brother Sam Stalder. We appreciate the very fine explanation of the text of Isaiah speaking of the highway out of Egypt. I'm sure it's been a real blessing to have this extra insight into this wonderful text and promise. And Brother Sam will close this meeting and ask the blessing on our temporal food.
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, our heart is full of thanks to Thee. We thank Thee for the many privileges we have of being here together at this convention, but also knowing that Thy people are one body and that You take care of all of them. And we ask Thee for the blessings also for those who are not here. Father, we thank You for all privileges, especially that You, Thou hast brought us into the light of the truth, which we share here together. And we ask Thee to continue to lead and to guide us on the narrow way, that we might be found worthy to enter into Thy kingdom in heaven. We ask for this in our dear Lord and Savior Jesus' name, in whom we pray. Amen.